This is Express FM.
Supported by City of Portsmouth College. Find your brilliance.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
One thing that we are good at is coming up with a plan and making it work and finding solutions.
Giving you a voice.
The application, the attitude from all of the girls has been absolutely massive.
We want to put on a performance for our fans at Fratton Park on a huge platform.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
The London Bees are stung by the champions in the final game of the season.
Barrett to take the corner towards the near post. Flicks on and into the back of the net. And it is going to end in double digits for the Blues. The final game of the season sees Pompey hit 10.
Pompey end their promotion winning campaign in style by putting 10 past already relegated London Bees, who themselves end the term without a single league victory. And it was party time shortly after the final whistle.
It's been a nigh-on-perfect campaign, a record-breaking campaign for the men, for the women. It's been promotion for Portsmouth! Champions of the National League South. The years of waiting, the years of hurt are over.
Jay Sadler's record-breaking side holding it off the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division trophy for the second time, but the first in front of their home supporters at Wesley Park. Pompey end the season on 61 points, a new points record in that division. We'll get all of the fallout to that win on Sunday between now and 7. Within such time, but also catch up with head coach of Portsmouth Men, John Massino, has been speaking to George Wedlake about the preparations for the championship and when fans can expect to see new faces through the door.
The League One list we put in the bin. We're looking at the championship list now, so we're working on plenty of options, but nothing really happens this early.
And as ever, Blues fans, we want to hear from you. 81400 is our text number. Start your messages with the word Express and include your name on those, of course. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Use at expressfm if you're on X, facebook.com/PompeyLive, or the very best way to get in touch is via the brand new ExpressFM app, available to download for free from the Apple app and Google Play stores. But a very good evening on this Bank Holiday Monday. It's the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Yes, good evening. Welcome to the latest instalment of the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. Brought to you, as you've just heard there, by Stagecoach across the South. Between now and 7 o'clock, you've got myself, Jake Smith, and the company of Sam Stone and Ian Chiverton to bring you all of the latest news from outside of Fratton Park for both the men and the women's teams. Of course, you've just heard in the intro, we're going to be taking a deeper dive into how the Pompey women got on at the weekend. If you've been living under a rock, it was an emphatic victory as they brought a close to their FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division campaign. More reaction to that game to come later in the show. Between now and 7, we're going to get reaction to that game. As we just mentioned, we're going to be talking about transfer rumours, speculations ahead of recruitment might be in place at Portsmouth Football Club over the course of the next week or two. And of course, it's been a busy weekend in terms of the Championship final day of the season, which will of course impact the Blues next season, because that's where they're going to be playing their football, and the EFL playoffs have started as well. So we're going to get all of that to come over the course of the next hour or so. We'll try and cram as much of it in as we can, and I'm delighted to say joining us to go through all of that is Mr. Sam Stone. Sam, it's been a while, but it's a pleasure to have you back on the Football Hour.
Yeah, hi Jake. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to having a little chat about all those transfer rumours that you just mentioned. And it's been a bit of a weird time, because we kind of just at the end of the season don't really know whether to be looking forward to next season or kind of still reminiscing on what was a great couple of weeks.
It has been a great couple of weeks, hasn't it, Sam? And these promotion celebrations, whilst you might sort of sit back and reflect on it now and think, what a hectic few weeks it's been, these are memories that are going to live long forever, aren't they?
Yeah, and in football, we've heard it a lot from Massino as well, these moments don't come around very often. We've been fortunate enough in the twice in the past 7 years to have these promotions, and I remember both the Barnsley game and the Notts County game for the rest of my life. And again, we're fortunate a lot of clubs don't experience these moments, so it's something we have to look forward to. We have to kind of it's precious and keep hold of, but it's important to remember that, you know, there's a massive task next season to stay in that division, and we could be a while till we experience another promotion. So yeah, as you say, got to keep hold of those memories.
Indeed we do. And just looking at the PC we've got in front of us here in the studio, we've got a lot of sort of favourite sort of tabs open, and websites we keep favourited, you know, for results and league tables and stuff. Just realised actually, amongst the Pompey Live folder, we've got the League One results, League One table, League One fixtures. That's going to have to change for next season. Got a few months to change that over to the Championship, which is going to be our focus in a few moments' time. Also, I'd like to say, joining us over the phone lines now is Mr. Ian Chiverton. Chiv, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Chiv, pleasure as always. We're going to come on to talk about the Pompey women later in the show, but just very quickly, a quick word on yesterday. What a result.
Yeah, unbelievable result. What a way to go out. It's been a campaign of dreams, and to go out with a 10-1 win in front of one of our biggest gates of the season was just literally the pinnacle for me.
And we will talk about that more later in this evening's show. And we spoke about, briefly just a moment ago, Sam, the Championship. It was, of course, the final day of the season on Saturday. And the reason we're going to talk about this is because it impacts who Pompey will be playing next season. Relegated from the second tier, confirmed after those 12:30 kickoffs at the weekend, Birmingham City, despite victory over Norwich at St Andrews, Birmingham have been relegated to League One, as have Huddersfield Town. Huddersfield Town down to League One. And these two teams we won't be playing next season. Sam, do they come as much of a shock, or are those sort of sides that have been lingering at the bottom for quite a while now?
Well, I think Birmingham's a really interesting one. They were sixth when they changed managers and hired Wayne Rooney. Clearly not a very good decision. Their ownership still seems to be pretty, like the fans seem to be on board of it, but ultimately they were the ones who decided to sack John Eustace. Massive club to be going down to League One. Seen some of their fans saying they're going to bounce straight back up. I think they should ask Sheffield Wednesday fans, Portsmouth fans, Sunderland fans the same question, because as we've learnt, League One can be an extremely tough one to get out of. Another interesting thing with the Championship, before when Pompey got promoted, I think there was only 8 teams confirmed to be playing next season.
Yeah.
And before the final day, on the final day, I think there was 10 teams that could have gone up or could have gone down. So there's been a lot to sort out in that division. It's become a bit more clearer now who we're going to be playing. Obviously, it's hit a couple of teams to come down from the Premier League as well. So that's a couple of away days to get excited for. Of course, all eyes are going to be on those playoffs and Leeds and Southampton. Those are the two. You'd expect both of them to get into the playoff final, and that'd be some watch at Wembley from a Pompey perspective.
Would indeed. And as Sam has touched upon there, only a couple of weeks ago, or even sort of last week, there were only 8 teams confirmed in the Championship for next season. Such a tight-knit division, with teams not being confirmed to go up or go down up until the weekend. Of course, as we know now, Rotherham United, Birmingham City and Huddersfield will be playing League One football next season, therefore not playing Pompey, unless, of course, drawn in a cup. We knew Leicester City were promoted as champions to the Premier League quite some time ago. However, they on Saturday afternoon, kind of against all odds in terms of where many would have expected them to be this season, but not maybe when you take into consideration the position they were in prior to kickoff. Ipswich Town have been promoted automatically to the Premier League. They have secured back-to-back promotions. Of course, they were only promoted from League One last season, so big congratulations to Ipswich. And who knows, this could be Pompey in 12 months' time. Take a bit of inspiration from that. And Chiv, we do say that with our, you know, tug-in-cheek kind of thing, but that is a monumental achievement from Kieran McKenna, and it does kind of give you a little bit of inspiration and maybe a sliver of hope that, you know, these things can happen.
Yeah, what a fantastic achievement that is. And I was watching the scenes at Portman Road. I mean, oh, amazing. You can see how much it means to them. And I mean, I've got quite a good friend who's an Ipswich fan, and he's literally in dreamland right now. He cannot believe that they've gone back to back. I think they would have been happy with probably a mid-table finish. And to do what they've done is just amazing. And I know that they, you know, they got quite a bit of stick when they were in League One because they were spending a lot of money. But, you know, people were sort of mocking them, saying, well, why are they spending all this money? Yes, they'll go up, but then they're going to have to get rid of them all. But they didn't do that. They just used it as a foundation to build a Championship squad. And to do what they've done is actually quite incredible. And they're not going to get the plaudits they deserve, I don't think. But that is a massive achievement. I mean, we can dream that we can do that next year. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, and Chiv mentions quite rightfully there, Sam, about Ipswich keeping the core basis of their squad from last season into the Championship this season. I guess that would be something that maybe Pompey fans would want to maybe replicate this season, but quite not likely with last week's news of a retain list, 10 being released, 4 in negotiations with new contract as well. It's not going to be the case for Pompey if that does happen.
I think they're two different, completely different scenarios. I think Ipswich, when they were in League One, had a Championship squad, and not just a Championship squad, it was a top-end Championship squad, and that was shown by the team that they played on Saturday. The majority of those players were playing in League One last season, a few players that we're pretty familiar with as well. Whereas Portsmouth, that we can see the squad needs upgrading. I don't think that we're not going to do an Ipswich, we're not going to go up and challenge the top end of we can dream, but it's not going to happen in my opinion. There needs to be a realisation that the Championship is a completely different animal to what we were in League One. Ipswich built a team for the Championship in League One. I think Pompey are going to have to do the same this summer, heading through into the new season.
Looking at the other side of the table, as we mentioned a few moments ago, Huddersfield Town relegated from the Championship into League One. That was pretty nailed on prior to kick-off on Saturday, although not mathematically confirmed. They'd have had to beat Ipswich away from home, actually, and hope that Birmingham or Plymouth would have suffered a heavy defeat in their respective matches, which, of course, did not happen. Huddersfield relegated to the Championship, to League One. What is an interesting stat is that Pompey have not played Huddersfield since the 31st of March 2001.
Cool.
2001 was the last time Pompey and Huddersfield played in the same division, just played a match against each other. And you take into consideration, Sam, how crazy that stat is when you think Pompey have gone from the Championship to the Premier League, back down all the way to League Two, now back up to the Championship within that time frame. Huddersfield have gone from, in that 2001 season, they were relegated. They've suffered, 5 relegations in that time frame, 3 promotions as well, and somehow we've avoided each other. How does that happen?
I'm a bit frustrated with that one as well, because I'm trying to tick off all the grounds, and Huddersfield is obviously one we haven't been to, so I was kind of hoping they start, but I think that their fate was sealed the week, penultimate game of the season, when they drew Birmingham. It was never going to happen for them. Looking ahead, though, looking at the league next season, you mentioned the bottom of it. I think it has worked out well for Pompey. A team like Birmingham and their ownership and the finances that they've got available to them, you would have expected them next season to kick on in the Championship if they had stayed up. Plymouth Argyle have stayed up instead. I think Pompey can compete with Plymouth next season, so that and that's another team that we could finish ahead of and stand a better chance of staying up. So from that perspective, I think it's worked out well with teams that have actually gone down.
Yeah. So currently the Championship table for next season looks like this in alphabetical order. There are 18 teams confirmed in the second tier next season. Still, of course, the Championship playoffs to determine, and 2 more sides to be relegated from the Premier League. So at the moment, Blackburn Rovers, Bristol City, Cardiff City, Coventry City, Derby County, Hull City, Middlesbrough, Millwall, Plymouth Argyle, Pompey, Preston North End, Queen's Park Rangers, Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke City, Sunderland, Swansea City, Watford, and Sheffield United. And I know Sheffield United is starts with an S and is before Watford, but actually they start the season bottom of the Championship because they have got -2 points, maybe deducted 2 points from the start of next season. So Pompey will start the Championship campaign, albeit alphabetically mid-table anyway, but knowing that Sheffield United have started on -2. And of course you've got the small factor of the League One playoffs to be decided as well. Some pretty decent away days in there, Chiv, and some grounds that Pompey fans wouldn't have been to for a very long time. Sam touches upon their Huddersfield Town. We haven't played them since 2001, but there are some tasty fixtures in the Championship next season, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And weirdly enough, thinking about this the other day, when you look through the teams that are in that division and you're thinking, I haven't been there in a long time. For some of us, obviously it depends how old you are, for some of us, some people would have ticked all them off, some probably halfway. But the younger generation, like my daughter's 12, she's not seen us play hardly any of those teams at all. So for her, it's like Christmas, basically. It's brand new, all these new teams, big teams, which she knows about. But there's some good away days in there. And when you look through, I think, like we were talking earlier, you look through the list of teams in there and there's no easy wins. No. So every... And I think Pompey actually play better when they're underdogs. So I think we're going to be mid-table next season. So, but yeah, definitely looking forward to some of those, to get some new teams that we haven't been to in quite a while.
So on Saturday, Birmingham City 1-0 victors over Norwich City. That wasn't enough to keep them in the Championship because Plymouth Argyle and their game at home to Hull were 1-0 winners. That in turn keeping Hull outside of the top six. They were chasing a playoff position heading into the final game of the season. But even so, a victory for the Tigers at Home Park wouldn't have been enough because West Bromwich Albion were 3-0 winners in their game against Preston North End. Elsewhere, it finished Coventry 1, QPR 2, Ipswich 2-0 winners over Huddersfield, securing promotion to the Premier League for the first time in just over two decades, also in turn relegating the Terriers down to the League One. There was a result at Elland Road, which none of us care about. Leicester City, already champions, defeated by 2-0 at home to Blackburn Rovers. In turn, that keeps Blackburn up. And I don't know if it's just me being petty, Sam, but seeing Leicester defeated in the final game of the season, meaning they end the campaign on 97 points, it filled me with a little bit of joy because it meant that Pompey not achieving the 100 points tallying and becoming centurions, seeing Leicester do it would have been, I don't know, I'd have been a little bit jealous.
Yeah, I don't think we could have many complaints at the end of the season after what happened. I was surprised by that result as well. You mentioned Birmingham there. That Birmingham probably think if they win that game, one of the other teams to drop points.
If I
looked at the bottom half of the Championship table and it was just full of green. Every single team was winning. So if you're a Birmingham fan, you'd be really disappointed with that. Leicester clearly enjoyed their title celebrations because obviously losing that game at home to Blackburn is a big shock. But again, that's a ground we've been to Blackburn recently as well. So that, I'm just so excited to be playing new teams and also as well, hopefully at Fratton Park there'll be some bigger attendances in the away end as well. As Ian said, there's no easy games, and you're going to get a big away attendance at Fratton Park. The atmosphere will be good. I just think it does play into Pompey's hands a little bit more. Sometimes the crowd feed off that, and that can work to their advantage.
Rotherham United winning by 5-2 against Cardiff City in their final game of the season. They've been awful all season, Rotherham. They decided to turn up on the final game of the season. They were relegated with just 27 points on the board, somewhat 24 points adrift of safety. Plymouth Argyle with 51. You can't help but get the feeling as well, Sam, that Plymouth next season, a lot of more games televised on Sky Sports next season with this new deal. I think you can put a fair chunk that will be a Friday night, a Monday night, it'll be televised. It'll be billed for Dockyard Derby in the Championship. We all know it's not, but that's what it'll be dubbed as.
Yeah, I read somewhere, is it four times as many games on TV next season? There's a new deal with
over 1,000 across the NFL.
I mean, financially, it's going to be a big boost, but I think there needs to be a realisation that a lot of games are going to be, you know, your 12:30 kickoffs. And Ipswich have played so many games at 12:30 because they've been on TV a lot. Same with Leeds. It's something we're going to have to get used to next season. So that traditional 3 o'clock with your mates is going to be a thing of the past, or a rare occurrence.
I think you'll be very lucky if just over half of Pompey's games next season will be Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs. What will be a result, though, is that knowing the international breaks well in advance, because of course in League 1 and 2 and below, the international breaks always have a bit of an asterisk next to the name, because you know you've got a fixture on that weekend, but of course if you get free international call-ups, you've got the eligibility to call the game off. However, of course, in the Championship, you're just not penciled in on those dates, so that'll be a bit of a boost for Pompey. Just one final factor before we do head into our first ad break of the night shift. We briefly mentioned Sheffield United starting the campaign next season on -2 points. A heavy defeat for them not so long ago, just before the weekend actually, means they've conceded 100 goals in the Premier League. They're the only second side behind Swindon Town to have conceded over 100 goals in a Premier League campaign. They start the season next year, of course, on -2. And it's going to be, quite an upward struggle for them next campaign, a side you'd probably expect to be up there.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a real hard turn, isn't it? You've gone from a side literally getting, destroyed every week, and now they're their fans are probably hoping that they're going to go on a promotion hunt next year. But, you know, they say winning's a habit, and, you know, almost losing can be a habit, isn't it? You can be self-defeating. I mean, Rotherham didn't start, like you said, turning up until they were already relegated. So it's a mentality thing. I don't know whether they're going to bring new players in or stick with their current squad, which will probably be good enough to at least secure a playoff place, you'd think, having played in the Premier League. But, yeah, that's going to be interesting. Teams like that tend to suffer in their first 5 to 10 games till they get some winning momentum going. So, you know, having them on the opening day at Fratton would be good, wouldn't it?
It would indeed. And we know it's going to be a bit of a struggle next season. Sam, of course, trying to stay up in the Championship. You mentioned a few moments ago that you're relatively confident of Pompey's ability in the second tier. But what will be crucial, as Chiv has touched upon there with Sheffield United's case, for Pompey, is going to have to be a very strong start to the campaign. Because as with teams like Rotherham, if you start off poorly, you can find yourselves really struggling throughout the entire year.
Yeah, I think the momentum from this season as well has got to be an important factor. You look at Ipswich, they kind of rode that wave for the whole campaign, really. I don't see Pompey doing that, but certainly, you know, if you can pick up, you know, 5 wins in your first 10 games, all of a sudden you're, you know, you've 50 points is the magic number.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're a bit of the way there. There are going to be tough moments. It's not going to be like it was this season. You know, it was absolutely winning most weeks. But there needs to be a realisation as well that, and it's probably the first time in 12 years that Pompey aren't going to be favourites to get promoted or win the league. And I'm really, it's going to be a weird feeling, but I'm really looking forward to it. That expectation is going to be slightly lower. Hopefully that feeds off the crowd as well. So, that's what I'm really excited for. I think it's going to be more of a backs against the wall season, and it's something that we haven't experienced for a while. And as I say, I'm really excited to see where that takes us.
Really excited to be taking you into the Championship as well, Pompey fans. Pompey Live will be back next season in the second tier of English football. Really looking forward to being able to broadcast to you every single kick and every single second of the action as Pompey return to the Championship. And of course, next season will be there'll be a new Pompey Live team. We're going to kickstart the era in the second division. Hopefully it's going to be a relatively long one in terms of not dropping back down to League One. And what I'm very pleased to announce is that I will be here with the team for next season.
You mentioned just now that you've been on the Pompey Live team for 6 seasons.
Yes, this is my 6th season now.
Well, unfortunately, I've got to give you some news here, Jake. You're going to be with us again for a 7th, OK, next year. You are not going anywhere, my friend. You are going to be staying with the Pompey Live team. We are going to be making changes, but Jake is not going anywhere.
Yeah, apologies about that. You are just stuck with me at this point. 81400 is the number you need to text if you want to get in touch between now and 7 o'clock. We've got a few coming in already, which we're going to read out after the break. Do start your messages with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com. Use @expressfm if you're on X. Visit facebook.com/pompeylive or download the free ExpressFM app from your Apple or Android devices. And when we do return, we're also going to hear from Blues gaffer John Massino speaking about the possibility of next season, the ambitions and new away days.
No disrespect to some of the clubs in League One, you don't really have any clubs in the Championship that, you know, haven't been in the Premier League or have been fighting for a spot in the Premier League at some point. So you've got some huge football clubs in there with big resources and big ambitions, and we've got to make sure we make the step up and compete as best as possible.
Stick with us here on the Football Hour for that and much more after the break.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM, with you every Monday and Friday evening from 6 through till 7 o'clock, with all of the latest news coming out of Fratton Park, of which there have been plenty over the course of the last few days since we last sat here in Studio 2 of the Express FM Towers on Friday night. There was a big game at the weekend for the Pompey Women, victorious in their final match of the campaign over the London Bees. We're going to hear the highlights of that game and get reaction to that in the next part of the show. But now comes a real exciting period of the season, or the post-season, if anything, I look forward to every single year, Sam. That is transfer speculation. These are where the rumours come out, the relatively reliable ones, the odd ones, the bizarre ones, and the downright crazy ones. I'm going to start you off with one name, and for once it's not Ben Thompson. Jamal Lowe.
Yeah, I actually saw that the other day. Funny enough, I actually work with the same company from the guy who posted the article. I briefly spoke to him, but I wouldn't know anything else that's not been said there. But it's a strange one for me. I personally don't see it. I'm sure there's interest. I mean, he was a great player for us, but he's a player who scored plenty of goals this season for Swansea. Mm. Probably wanted elsewhere. Furthermore, the wages are going to be an issue. You can't remember he was at Bournemouth, that's a Premier League club, championship player now. He's an established championship player, and those wages tend to be quite significant. The Eisner's model, can I see him going splashing the cash on that? Not really. Would I like to see it happen potentially? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Jamal Lowe, I love watching him play at Pompey. I think he's 28 now. He's
29, and turns 30 in July.
Yeah, so that's not really, well, that shows when we signed him. We signed him when he was kind of like early 20s, so he wasn't like a youngster.
No.
So it's one where I've got a soft spot for Jamal Lowe, but I don't necessarily. You look at his age, you look at his wages, you look at what he could offer in the future. Is that going to align with Richard Hughes' transfer policy? I don't think so.
25 goals from just over 103 appearances for Pompey between 2017 and 2019. Winning promotion from League 2 into League 1 in 2017 and the Checkatrade Trophy at Wembley in 2019 before leaving for Wigan Athletic, where he spent a year. Moving on to Swansea, where he also spent just a year before being permanently transferred to AFC Bournemouth, as Sam's alluded to there. Only 36 appearances for the Cherries and has been on loan twice, once to QPR and the other to Swansea City, where he has just finished his loan deal now that the Championship season has come to an end. When you look at those sort of previous two teams, Chief, QPR and Swansea City, sides that are either, well, they're both in the bottom half of the Championship as things stand. Neither of them have really been pulling up trees in terms of pushing for promotion. And when you look at Pompey's ambitions for next season in terms of wanting to survive and really establish themselves as a Championship team, I guess the ambition is to not be far off the likes of QPR and Swansea City. So would it be a realistic signing, Jamal Lowe, or do you kind of agree with Sam in respect to it'd be a nice one because it would just be nice as a Pompey fan to see Jamal Lowe back, but actually not quite realistic with the wages?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Sam's saying. He's made some good points and he's exactly right. I don't think it's a player that, from nostalgia value, I think obviously, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him back here, and I think he'd love to come back. He had a good time here and, you know, it's made it clear why he was here. He loved the area as well. So I think he would consider coming back. But at the moment, I think he's in perhaps a bracket of players which is out of our reach at the moment. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fit the model of how the Eisners and Richard Hughes recruits. So, like I say, a player who you definitely wouldn't say no to. But I just think that's not the type of player we're going to be looking for. He's a bit old. I think we're going to be looking to bring in younger players who perhaps we can get on the cheaper side, on cheaper wages, and then build them up over a season or two. And I think he falls in a different bracket to that. But, I mean, he's not going to be short of takers, but he's been in the Championship for a while now, so his wages also would have crept up over that time. So, you know, we're not going to be handing huge wages to nearly 30-year-olds. And I'm glad for that, actually. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No. It makes me feel old, looking at Jamal Lowe's stats and being nearly 30 years old. But yeah, you're right. And just to correct myself, actually, Pompey did sign Jamal Lowe 2016 October, but didn't actually play for Pompey until the January 2017, because he went back to Hampton and Richmond Borough for a few months before actually making his way down to Fratton Park. So Jamal Lowe, the first name, we can just sort of brush off. And if it happens, it happens, and it'd be a great sentimental signing, I guess. But very, very unlikely. The next name I'm going to throw at you, Sam, is Reading defensive midfielder Michael Craig. Name has been floated around on X or Twitter this morning. Again, this is the kind of season now where you talk about speculation and these names could be thrown about with absolutely zero credibility whatsoever. But Michael Craig from Reading is somebody that has popped up.
Yeah, I saw that report actually this morning. I'll be lying if I say I know much about him, Jake, but I will say one thing. This Reading side this season, when they actually came to Fratton Park, I know they lost 4-0. They were really good in that first half.
They scored one goal. It was 4-1.
4-1, sorry, yeah. But they were I thought they were excellent. They're one of the better teams I've seen, obviously, before we got ahead. He's part of that team. There was a lot of younger players in that Reading team who've had to be pushed through to the first team through circumstances at the club. So I can see, again, we mentioned Pompey's recruitment model, signing a younger player from a club for a cut price fee who might need to sell him, taking advantage of situations and using them to grow them and then potentially sell them in the future. So I can see that there would be interest there. And I mean, who the report's from, if it's credible or not, I could believe that one. Whereas the Jamal Lowe one, I feel like they might just be putting two and two together.
The source for this Michael Craig rumour is Peter Rourke.
Credible. Pete's pretty reliable. And so that one could have some legs. Again, it's one of these where last season we kind of weren't expecting such a flurry of transfer activity so early, and a lot of the names just came out of nowhere. there was no inkling of who we were going to sign, and then all of a sudden, first day transfer window, we signed three or four. I can't remember how many players it was. Three or four?
Quite a few.
They just came out of nowhere, basically. So it's lovely hearing transfer rumours. I love it. I love going through my social media and seeing a transfer rumour pop up, but I just think that Richard Hughes and the way he works is going to be unexpected what eventually does happen.
That one does look much more likely, as Sam's mentioned there. It could have maybe materialised. Michael Craig, midfielder from Reading, 21 years of age, 36 appearances for the Royals as they finished 17th in League One this season. Former Tottenham youngster as well. Pompey seems to always go for the former Spurs youngsters, so that might be something. Potentially switching the Select Car Leasing Stadium for Fratton Park next season. We'll have to keep you updated on that one if anything changes with regards to that. And by the way, the Jamal Lowe link, if you want to call it that, was purely because I think it was his partner on Instagram, wasn't it, sharing a picture from him on the last day of the Championship season at Swansea saying about moving houses. But I don't think that really comes as much of a surprise because he's on loan at Swansea, so he's always going to have to move back to Bournemouth, wasn't he? Although he does still apparently have a house in Pompey. So, there you go. Anyway, enough of Jamal Lowe. That's not going to happen. Anthony Evans is somebody who has also been supposedly rumoured with a move to Pompey. Bristol Rovers attacking midfielder. And Chiv, it's great to see his name been mentioned very early on, and is that to you a show of intent for next season that John Messina, Richard Hughes and any sort of potential new head of recruitment wants to get this business done early in order to really settle down for pre-season?
Yeah, I think so. I think Rich Hughes has been in post for a while now, and we're starting to get an idea of how they work, and they're definitely forward planners, so I have absolutely no doubt that they have a list of names of people they want, and they've been working on it for quite some time, probably like almost at the start of the season, so they would have planned out for every scenario possible, staying down and going up. So I've no doubt that they, upon our confirmation of promotion, and actually we did it early enough for them to start kicking the transfer wheels in motion probably ahead of most other clubs. So that gives us an advantage. So players like Evans, he's 25. I think that is more realistic. I think we're going to be bringing in players in their early to mid-20s for the most part. Players who either have just started, sort of had some appearances in the Championship for clubs, or who have been outstanding in League One and are ready to step up. So that's much more realistic than Jamal Lowe, I think, and I think that's the model of player that we're definitely going to see coming through the door over the summer.
Indeed. Well, let's hear from the man himself now, John Messina, speaking to George Wedlake at the Blues training facility last week, and this is part two of a big interview that George had conducted with the Pompey gaffer. We heard part one on Friday's instalment of the show, talking about the retain list and how sad it is to see certain players leave. We spoke about that on Saturday, of course. 10 released, 4 in in negotiations. Toby Stewart for one name currently who has put pen to paper on a new deal. Two departures, including big names Sean Raggett and Joe Rafferty. And George had asked John Messino last Wednesday, when he caught up with him, how difficult it was to make these decisions and how quickly everything is coming together so soon after the season finished.
Yeah, I mean, it is and it isn't. We did the same thing last year, so I think once you've done it once, it's the only new thing about this year is the fact that we're doing it off the back of a bit of success, and that is different from what it was last year. It was probably a bit easier last year because of the fact that we finished eighth place, and as a football club, as Portsmouth Football Club, that's not where we want to be. And so the players involved in that obviously have to take responsibility for that, but having won the league and having played such a huge part, and some of the lads that have been released have played such a huge part, that's a really tough thing to take. So certainly the lads all handled it with a lot of professionalism, and we'd like to think on our side we did the same.
And just how championship ready would you say your side is at the moment as things stand?
Well, having, you know, we've obviously released a fair few players, so we need to start rebuilding that squad. So if the season started tomorrow, we wouldn't be ready. And we've got a big summer ahead of us. We haven't had a single day's worth of training as a championship side yet. So we've got to make sure that we, you know, rebuild that squad over the summer and make sure we bring in the players that we want to bring in, and then go from the first day of pre-season.
Talking of rebuilding, the rumours are already circulating. A few names are being thrown about, but is there anything in the pipeline at the moment?
There's plenty in the pipeline. We've had long lists on both sides in terms of recruitment for League One and recruitment for the Championship. So obviously, the minute we went up the League One list, and there's some crossover in both of them, by the way, but the League One list we've put put in the bin. We're looking at the Championship list now, so we're working on plenty of options, but nothing really happens this early. It's still too early to speak to players. It's really too early to get a gauge on what players are going to do next year. Clubs have only just released their lists or have only just made decisions on released and retained lists, which we'll see over the next week or so. So no rush on that. We're making sure that we keep everything moving on, keep plenty of irons in the fire, and then go from there.
And in terms of pre-season plans, anything knocking about there at the moment?
We're pretty much fully planned. We haven't confirmed the away trip yet, but we're fully planned in terms of pre-season. As soon as we know where the trip is, we'll let everyone know.
And is there going to be the annual Havant-Waterlooville fixture as well?
Yeah, that's going to be on the 20th, I believe. So I need to double check that, but that will be on Saturday the 20th.
Now it's sunk in a bit. Your thoughts on the Championship next season? Obviously quite exciting, but this is new territory. You know League One very, very well. This is a whole new different division, isn't it?
It is. I have played in the Championship, so it's not completely unfamiliar to me. And we've got players that have played at that level as well. I think the step up is large. I think it's a huge jump in terms of club size, and you know, no disrespect to some of the clubs in League One, you don't really have any clubs in the Championship that either, you know, haven't been in the Premier League or have been fighting for a spot in the Premier League at some point. So you've got some huge football clubs in there with big resources and big ambitions, and we've got to make sure we make the step up and compete as best as possible. Obviously we're one of them, so we're one of those clubs that have been there, we've done it, and we've got to make sure we get up to the next level and compete.
And how does a title winning head coach plan to spend his summer?
Yeah, but back in working yesterday, obviously, and again today, we've got a couple of bits to do. You know, we're going to have a meeting with Rich and the recruitment side later on, and it's going to be an enjoyable one, I think. But the most important thing for me, like you mentioned there, is you know, some exposure to the Championship, but a lot more to League One in my career. So I think a lot of hard work in terms of you know, how teams play, what teams do, what makes the good sides better off at the Championship at the top end. We're going to be working on that and planning pre-season, and in the blink of an eye, I think the 27th of June will come round. It always does. It feels like we've got a huge time and sort of that 8.5 week break, but it's going to be in the blink of an eye we're going to be back here talking about pre-season again. So yeah, there's plenty to do.
John Messino there speaking to George Wedlick at Pompey's training ground at the sort of middle of last week, talking about the retained list, of course, in part one, which you can listen back to on Friday's instalment of the Football Hour. And they're talking about signings for next season, preparations for the Championship, and a lot more as well. So great interview, as always, between George and John Messino. An article published by our good friends and colleagues at the Portsmouth News very late on Friday afternoon, talking about Pompey closing in on a key appointment as the chief of the football club. Andy Cullen makes a statement of intent to the Championship. This is an area of which Pompey have been trying to fill the void off for quite a few months now with departing Phil Boardman to Everton. It is the head of recruitment role at Fratton Park, and there is one name who has been sort of on the sort of tip of people's tongues for the last few months, and it is looking very likely now that Manchester City's Brad Wall is going to be the man set to arrive at PO4 as the sort of head of recruitment at Fratton Park. Sam, it's also, of course, it's a very important role to have at any football club, head of recruitment, but to get somebody in from Manchester City, I don't really need to say much more about that, do you? It's a top-end football club with the probably most incredible facilities in world football, and if you can get a head of recruitment from there, who knows what kind of knowledge and... what's the word?
Contacts.
Contacts you can bring from there.
Yeah, well, hopefully this means you'll get on the phone to Alex Robertson, that he knows him quite well, maybe. A couple of things on this. I think it's interesting that, you know, this position, it kind of puts into perspective what Richard Hughes' job is more. It's kind of an overview of all footballing operations, and obviously Phil Boardman as well, but it shows that, you know, the recruitment isn't just down to Richard Hughes. No. That now we're going to have someone come in and purely focus on that and try and identify players who can improve the team. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, he's going to be, which should be announced fairly soon, yeah, how much of an impact he'll have over this summer. I assume, as we just heard Messina say, that those lists have been already sorted out, mm-hmm, and those players have been, so him coming in, I don't know if he take over, if he has a probation or a notice period at Manchester City, but that's something to consider, how much of an impact he'll actually, or how much of a say he'll have this summer. But as you say, coming from Manchester City, City Group in general, shouldn't be an expectation that we're going to be signing loads of Manchester City youngsters, but the way they operate is so professional, yeah, and it's high level as you can get,
and quite refreshing, I'm sure, Chiv, as a fan, to be reading that and knowing that Phil Boardman departing quite a few months ago, you know, midway through this promotion winning campaign for Portsmouth Men, been a key figure in the backroom staff at Fratton Park for a number of years now after being recruited by Kenny Jackett, so that's how long he's been at the football club. To have Brad Wall, who's been on the, you know, he's been on the cusp of becoming Pompey's new head of recruitment, of course having to wait until the end of the season to see this officially announced, reported by Jordan Cross at the Portsmouth News, that is just around the corner potentially. But as we just heard from Massimo, Chiv, to have these two lists that have been drawn up for the possibilities of next season, whether it would have been League One or Championship football, they had the preparations in place, the kind of players they wanted to sign, and they've got names in every single position, backups and backups and backups as well. This is a very prepared and very organised infrastructure behind the scenes, even before Brad Wall or anyone comes in as head of recruitment.
Yeah, definitely, and I think that's something that under the owners that we've got now is that we are, you know, we are professionalising even more so the back of the backroom staff and the people who work behind the scenes, and, you know, the fact that we are attracting the names of, you know, really reputable people. Rich Hughes, just one of them, that was quite a coup for us to get him, just means that these people are being approached by Pompey and that they see what's going on behind the scenes, and they know that we're a well-organised, decent club, and they're willing to come here. Like, we would not be able to get these people if we didn't have all our ducks in line behind the scenes. So, yeah, it's brilliant to see these sorts of people linked. And also, over the last couple of years, I have so much faith in what they're doing behind the scenes. Okay, opinion-wise, when we sign players, some people will agree and disagree on whether that player should come in or that player should leave. That's just normal football stuff. But what you can't accuse a club of doing for the men or the women's teams these days is that being disorganised, because,
yeah,
like, we have our list ready to go, and they plan for literally every single scenario, and that's really reassuring as a fan.
Yeah. An email here from Dave Byrne. He's got in touch this evening saying, "Good evening. So we won't be visiting Huddersfield, Rotherham or Birmingham next season, but I see Plymouth just about managed to stay on our fixture list for 24-25. And it looks like Sheffield United, Burnley and probably Luton will be coming down from the Premier League. Should be a great division. Ipswich had a fantastic season to go up again. I guess we'll have to go for a similar squad transition as Pompey this summer. I wonder who could be available at Portman Road, who could fit the bill at PO4. We shall see." And he signs off by saying, Burnley. Any speculation on season ticket pricing for next season? Dave, I haven't got a clue. Gav Jones has got in touch saying, good evening, Jake. I wouldn't mind Siriki Dembele or Sorba Thomas coming in. His names as probably haven't or won't be mentioned, but as you say, wages will become an issue. But I'd definitely like to see some kind of decent championship experience come through the door. We're going to get more reaction from you guys tuning in back home as we focus now on to the Pompey women and reaction to their 10-1 victory over London Bees on Sunday.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, or just enjoying late night bus rides, from 7 p.m. every day, you can take advantage of a Knight Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Knight Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South for just £2.50. The world is your oyster. Visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Welcome along for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM, with you every Monday and Friday evening between 6 and 7 o'clock with the latest Pompey news. Coming up at 7 this evening, just over 10 minutes time, the Soft Rock Show with Jeff Dorset. He's in conversation with Mel Gaynor from Simple Minds, and he's got new music including Declan J. Donovan, Darren Fortain's DC and Bywater Call as well. Jeff Dorset coming up with the Soft Rock Show in just under now 10 minutes time. But now we move our focus here on the Football Hour to the Pompey women. What an incredible season it's been for Jay Sadler's side, promoted as champions from the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. And prior to kickoff on Sunday at Wesley Park, they had 58 points in the league after 21 matches, one game remaining, of course, against already relegated and without a league victory all season, London Bees. And a win for them would confirm a new points record in the division that nobody has achieved before. The previous record set by Cheltenham Town was 60 points, and a win they achieved.
All the unmissable action.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
The final game, the victory lap of what has been a nigh perfect campaign. It's going to be Ava Rowbottom who kicks the first ball for the final game of the season here at Wesley Park. And underway we are. Back to Freeland, 25 yards out towards Quirk, left side, inside the penalty area. Cuts inside, plays it back towards the back stick and into the back of the net. And it is Ava Rowbottom who gives the Blues the lead. On their blue letter day, they have their opener within the space of 8 minutes, and it is Pompey's number eight who gets on the score sheet. It's Pompey 1, London Bees 0. The ball threaded through towards Quirk, who's in on goal for free, slaloming her way through, but then Webber makes herself big in the London Bees goal towards the near post to stop her. Comes back in by Webber, who tries her luck audaciously, and into the back of the net it goes on her left foot. In towards the top left-hand corner, it was spilled by Amber Webber. Rowbottom reverse second, and the Blues find themselves 3-0 up within the space of 25 minutes. Sophie Quirk picks up on the ball loosely, hits the crossbar, it's going to fall for Humphrey, who makes it a fourth. Well, it's just too routine and too simple for Pompey now. London Bees tried to play up from the back, and they got caught. It's a fourth for the Blues, and we have only played 28 minutes here at Wesley Park. Portsmouth 4, London Bees 0, and you fear now that this could be somewhat of a mauling at Wesley Park. And now Pittman, edge of the penalty area, steps inside. Fred Bruce-Crook has a touch, looking to strike it eventually, and into the back of the net, into the roof of the net, in towards the top left-hand corner, and Sophie Quirk has added a fifth. She has been Pompey's golden girl this season, and that was a golden goal from her. It's 5-star for the Blues, and we still have just under a quarter of an hour to play in this opening period. 33 minutes played, Portsmouth 5, London Bees 0. And that is the half-time whistle. It's been a 5-star performance from the Blues in this first half. It has been ruthless on Jay Sadler's side. He may have work to do here as London Bees pull one back. With just over half an hour to go, Hannah Horton isn't going to have her clean sheet after all. And London Bees get one back. It's 5-1. goes back towards lane, right-footed, thunderous effort in towards the bottom left-hand corner, and normal service is resumed. Six of the best from the Blues. They're going to round off this history-making campaign in some style. It's the substitute, Danny Lane, with the goal. Quirk, left-hand side, inside the penalty. Pulls it back towards the byline, towards Emma Jones, who backheels it superbly in towards the back of the net. It's finesse from the Portsmouth striker, who had a seventh to the scoreline. She takes the acclaim of her teammates, Jones and Quirk combining. How many times have we said that this season? And Emma Jones back on the score sheet. Her 10th league goal as far as this season is concerned. Her 17th all told in all competitions. And Portsmouth have a 7th courtesy of Emma Jones. And it goes out to Jones, towards Quirk, 4-8. And perhaps it's fitting that it is Sophie Quirk who brings the curtain down on the Blues' season. In many eyes, the player of the season who may have just scored the final goal of the season. It's a great 8 for the Blues. For London Bees, it's that sinking feeling. Rutherford towards Jones, the number 9 could make it 9. She turns inside the air, she has a go at goal. And Pompey's number 9 has made it number 9. And this really is a rout beyond description. Finishing with a flourish. The fans want 10. The Pompey keeper who struggles on the halfway line. Barrett to take the corner towards the near post. Flicks Ireland into the back of the net. And it is going to end in double digits for the Blues. The final game of the season sees Pompey hit 10. The final whistle brings the curtain down on a record-breaking campaign for Portsmouth women. And just like the men, promotion, double champions.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Pompey women 10-1 victors over London Bees yesterday afternoon at Wesley Park. Ian Chiverton is alongside us this evening. Chiv, you've been a great ambassador for the women's game over the last few years. Your Pompey women's vlogs with your daughter Abby has absolutely kicked off, and now you're of course co-founder of the Pompey Women's Supporters Club as well. How proud were you to see not just that performance yesterday at Wesley Park, but also the trophy lift as well?
Yeah, it's a really, really amazing day. Really proud of the team. I'm really proud of the backroom staff. Some of them, you know, they've all played their part, and there's a couple in there who've been there for quite some time, quite a few years. So it's been building for a long time, and we've gained, obviously, new staff, new players, and loads of new supporters over the last few years. And just to culminate in that day yesterday, and it was such a brilliant day. The team were outstanding. I mean, a 10-1 win. I know Bees have struggled this season, but they're still a tier-three football club, and to beat them so convincingly and it's just such a way to sign out, and the reception that the team got lifting the trophy was nothing short of what they deserved. And it, yeah, it was just a really, really proud moment.
7-1 was the scoreline with only 4 minutes remaining. 10-1 was the scoreline come the full-time whistle. Ava Rowbottom with 2 goals. Emily Pittman with a strike of her own. Ella Humphrey also on the score sheet. Sophie Quirk with a brace. Danny Lane also on target in the 64th minute. Emma Jones with a brace. 2 goals in the final 10 minutes. And Nicole Barrett rounding off the scoring in the 4th minute of added time. It was Nee Chambers with the consolation for London Bees, who have been relegated from the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. Sophie Quirk, Chiv, with a brace on Sunday, and we saw on the Pompey Women's Supporters Club social media channels, but she was awarded your Player of the Season. Was that an easy decision to make?
Yeah, well, it was a members' vote, and she received... you know, she was double ahead of the nearest person. And I think what Sophie brings is she brings the entertainment. She is an amazing young player. I mean, 19 goals and I think it's at least 25 assists. We're still waiting for some of them to be given from the last game. But I mean, even if that's like 19 goals and 25 assists, don't forget they only play 31 games. Yeah. So for a player of her age to do that is outstanding. And yeah, just delighted for her. She was so humble, like when we gave her the shield, the trophy. Delighted for her, and To be honest, there were so many players who could have won it, and it was spread out across the supporters groups and the actual players play. Different players won nearly all of them, so that just goes to show what season we've had.
We had full coverage of that game at Wesley Park here on Express FM yesterday afternoon. This was the moment our Henry Deacon called for trophy lift at Wesley Park.
And so Hannah Horton, the keeper, the skipper, the safest hands in the league. Her last job this season is to receive the trophy, to lift the trophy. For the first time in weeks, she's had the sunglasses off. It's been a nigh-on perfect campaign, a record-breaking campaign for the men, for the women. It's been promotion for Portsmouth! Champions of the National League South. The years of waiting, the years of hurt are over, and finally, the Blues are a championship side. The champagne sprays around the centre of the Wesley Park pitch. Celebration and jubilant scenes, which all last long, long into the night. Queens, we are the champions, blare around the ground. They've been the champions for a long time now, and they can finally rejoice and celebrate in the moment. The whiff of bubbly reverberates all around Wesley Park. The smell of success, the sweet smell of success. Portsmouth are the champions.
Yeah, great coverage from our Henry there. The whiff of bubbly. Never heard that in a commentary sentence before. The smell of success, Chiv. What does the smell of success smell like?
Well, I can vouch for that because we were on the pitch filming and, yeah, you could definitely smell the champagne. The players were absolutely soaked in it. I think, like, for me, like, the success just means so much because it's been building over such a long time. And, you know, it's not just a one season wonder. I mean, I can appreciate from the outside, some people might say, OK, the team went semi-pro and now they've absolutely stormed the league. Don't get fooled into that. That's absolutely not the case. 95% of the building blocks were done in the last 5 years under Jay Sadler's management. And, you know, going pro just allowed them just to up it that last little bit. And like I say, they're record breakers. They've absolutely destroyed this league. And the professionalism shown by them is levels above the division they're in. And I think that is the reason we've done so well.
And in the Championship next season for the women, it will be Charlton, Sunderland, Bristol City, Newcastle United, Southampton, Birmingham, Blackburn, Sheffield United, London City Lionesses, Durham, and Reading as well, relegated from this season's Championship table. Lewis and Watford as well. Crystal Palace were promoted to the WSL, and as we mentioned, Newcastle United promoted from the FA Women's National League Northern Premier Division. Chiv, just a very, very quick sort of final word from yourself. A second trophy lift yesterday after, of course, it was held aloft on the Common last Sunday. You were on the stage. How great a feeling was that for you?
Yeah, it was a great feeling. I was really humbled to be asked just to give a few words on the women's season. And like all the Pompey fans listening, I just want to say a huge thank you because the reception that the women's team got was absolutely amazing. I was right behind the stand, the stage, when they came out, and the Pompey fans just were a huge credit, really, that they got behind the team. And that when the players came off, they were absolutely blown away by the reception they got. And I know they're appreciative, but I'm so appreciative of our fan base of doing that.
It certainly was an emotional day. You could see the passion and the feeling running down, not just the men's team, but the women's team as well. That did mean a lot. The heights of the Championship then for both Pompey's men and women next season. We're going to get much more reaction from what has been an incredible double promotion winning campaign when the Football Hour returns this Friday night from 6 o'clock. I'll be joined by two more Pompey voices to talk about all of the things that happened this week from Fratton Park. Quick score update from the League Two playoff semi-finals. It's the 66th minute at Gresty Road, where Crewe Alexandra are currently 2-0 down to Doncaster Rovers in the first leg of their semi-final. Elsewhere in League Two, there was a game scheduled for earlier today. Crawley taken on MK Dons. That match postponed due to a waterlogged pitch at Crawley's Broadfield Stadium. That will now be rescheduled for tomorrow night, with the second leg now taking place on Saturday afternoon. In League One, the playoffs return tomorrow evening. Bolton take on Barnsley at the Tough Sheet Community Stadium. Bolton with a 3-1 advantage. And then on Wednesday night, it is Peterborough United versus Oxford, and it is the Youths of Oxford with a 1-goal advantage heading into the second leg of the semi-final. Well, a big thank you to everybody for tuning in to this evening's instalment of the Football Hour. Thank you to everyone who got in touch via the text tweets and the emails. And as always, a big cheers to Stagecoach Across the South for supporting another season of this magnificent show. We'll be back on Friday with, like I say, much, much more to come here on the Football Hour from 6 o'clock. Henry Deacon is back from 6 o'clock on Wednesday with your next non-league fix with Over the White Line. And just for tonight, I want to say a big thank you to our two studio guests. First and foremost, Ian Chiverton, for joining us over the phone lines. Chiv, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you very much for calling in.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks for having me.
And here in the studio, Sam Stone. Sam, it's been great to see you. Thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate your efforts as always.
No worries, Jake. Thank you.
Very, very welcome. Right, Jeff Dorsett's coming up next with the Soft Rock Show. Kev Stokes is on the way up this evening as well. We've got a star-studded lineup here on Express FM. Good night from me.